Thanks again for joining us here on the Podium Finish Caesar. For those who may not know about Caesar, he is a tire specialist and interior mechanic for Kyle Larson and the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports team. Caesar, for the fans learning about you for the first time here on the Podium Finish, or TPF, tell us about what you do for the number 5 team and how long you've been in NASCAR.
Well, I have been in NASCAR, I mean, across all three national series now for, I guess this is my 18th or 19th year, so I've been around for a while, and I am the interior mechanic and tire specialist on number 5 car for Kyle Larson.
And when you got to be part of this sport, let me kind of backtrack a little bit. You know, being a first-generation Filipino-American like me, and you're from New Jersey, so not too far from where I grew up in Boston. How did you learn about the sport, and how did you get into the world of NASCAR? I would have to imagine, you know, you had some kind of interest related to this sport, but, you know, what was your initial start with this, with NASCAR?
Well, that's a good question. I've always been a sports guy. I mean, I like watching all kinds of sports, and I've never really watched NASCAR. I never really knew what, you know, I guess racing was. I just never watched any racing. And it just all started one day. I was in college. I used to be a computer engineering major, but one weekend I was studying for an exam, and turned TV on in the afternoon there, and I guess Daytona 500 was on, and had that on the TV, just I guess on for background noise or whatever, and you know, the race started and everything. I saw a big wreck happen. I think it was one of the Tony Stewart's up in the air and stuff like that, and I guess I just fell asleep or whatever, and you know, I got back up and I happened got to see the end of the race. It's like 10 laps to go. And, you know, towards the end of the race, another big wreck happened at the end there. And I think Michael Waltrip won. And then that's about it. I turned off the TV, started to do, you know, studying again. Anyways, later on that night, decided to go out to eat. And, I mean, you know, you go walk up at a bar, and the bar is surrounded by TVs, and there's, you know, massive press conference down at Daytona, I guess. And I guess whoever was in that car, I guess, didn't make it. So, you know, I never knew who Dale Earnhardt was till he died. So, I mean, that's how basically I got interested in NASCAR. I mean, this guy was, you know, on all the newspapers, Time Magazine. I mean, you drive down the highway, there's billboards with, you know, if you can remember that long ago, I mean, the three turning into, like, angel wings and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess, you know, he was a big deal. I mean, up to that time, I think. And I tell a lot of people, I guess, the story, ask me how it started and what it was. But, I mean, I've heard of Richard Petty, Jeff Gordon, and, like, and Al Unser, and that's about it. So that's how that's what put NASCAR on the map for me. And, you know, after that race, I started watching the next race. I believe it was Rockingham. And then after Rockingham, it was like Vegas and then Atlanta. And then the guy who got in Dale's car won, like, almost immediately. So, and that was Kevin Harvick. So, I mean, I guess that's how it started.
That was 20 years ago, if I recall. And, yeah, I definitely remember the 2001 season. Yeah, I mean, that was before all of that happened, when the TV contracts changed. I feel like that gave NASCAR a huge platform to really expose itself to a bigger audience versus what it was doing before 2001. And unfortunately, one of the largest icons in NASCAR had passed away from that last lap crash at Daytona. But like you said, you know, it was a monumental moment in a tragic way. But also, too, I think it's when, you know, we started to see just how deep the talents were in NASCAR, and you know, it would be the future became now at that time. And for you, you caught it at a rather explosive time in all kinds of emotions. So I can't imagine from your perspective what that was like, but you know, that was probably my 10th year following the sport. I was just a kid though, but now I think it's interesting to know that, you know, a lot of folks their first experience with NASCAR is always going to be different, but to know that 2001 was how you got into it and had the background as well that's necessary for the racing, certainly was pivotal for sure.
I don't want to get anything, I guess, twisted as far as, like, you know, knowledge on cars and stuff like that. I mean, 20 years ago, I mean, if you showed me in your hand a crankshaft and a camshaft, I couldn't tell you the difference between the two. So, it's been a learning curve since then. So,
no, I would imagine so. And that, for sure. I mean, cars from back then have changed a lot. And that's something we're certainly going to talk about a little bit later in the interview, for sure. And that kind of leads me to my next question, actually, because you did talk a little bit about your introduction into the sport. But of course, you know, you had your earlier years in NASCAR, being with Truck and Xfinity's team. So, you know, how were those formative years like for you when you were working in those two divisions and just trying to kind of figure your path out in NASCAR?
Well, I guess when I started going to the racetrack, I mean, I started out as a tire changer. So that's helped me, I guess, get my foot in the door and expose myself to all these different teams at the racetrack every week. I mean, I did ASA races, ARCA races, truck races. Back then, a series was Hooters Pro Cup and then, you know, Busch and then Cup Cars. A year after that, I finally got on board a truck team. And, truck racing is fun. I guess it's, you're always serious when you're racing, regardless of what division you're in. But the atmosphere in the trucks is, I guess, a little easier than it is, as you go up, obviously. So, I don't know. It's just... that's why that just the trucks are fun in that aspect, you know, it's just a more relaxed environment.
I was going to say, I've noticed that from being in the garage area. I would imagine, too, the relaxed atmosphere has to come with the fact that there's not as many races as there would be in Xfinity and Cup, so that probably helps a little bit as well. And it, I guess maybe even from just the racing standpoint, you know, it's, of course, NASCAR has its corporate moments. It's going to be business driven, but it almost has more of a local short track feel in the truck series versus the top two series, which of course tend to have more of the bells and whistles experience that, it's kind of built itself up to be. And then, you know, during those truck years, I think you worked with Todd Bodine's team. So that kind of brings me up to my next question for you, where you're no stranger to success in NASCAR. You've been around teams that have won or contended with championships throughout your career. So how much do you feed off the energy of your crewmates and the drivers you've worked with to deal with these long marathon-like seasons?
I guess staying with the truck series here. I mean, I guess I've been fortunate to be on top truck teams, across the 5 years I was in it. I started out at Morgan Dollar Motorsports, and at that time, Dennis Setzer was the primary truck driver. He finished, back in 2003, maybe second in points, and or even in 2004 finished. Regardless, it was a great truck team. And then, all the people you meet, those are the people that taught me around the business at that shop. And I guess that's what set me up for down the road. And even to this day, I work with somebody who I first met at that shop, Morgan Dollar, in 2004. So, in a way, it goes full circle, I guess, because, people come and go as you work through all these race teams, and to still be with people and know people all these years, it's just funny how it works.
Longevity certainly can be something that is celebrated no matter what walk of life you're in. And, you know, you've been around the sport so long that, you know, you definitely have been around to see a lot of the changes with folks coming in and out of the sport, but you've been a consistent presence and, you know, a helpful factor with these teams over your career. So it's kind of cool that you've been around long enough to see somebody from your early years in the Truck Series still in the, you know, in NASCAR, and you're forming your own legacy as well with what you do, for sure. So it's certainly cool to see. And it does remind, oh man, the Truck Series, those times were so fun. I mean, with Dennis Setzer, I think that was the blue and yellow truck I recall back then. So you definitely.
It was, I guess, that was a blue and yellow Axiom truck. But however, that's not when I started. They had already moved to Statesville here, and I guess they got some Chevy, like they had a Chevy Silverado sponsorship is what they had.
I think I remember that as well. So yeah, that was during, I think, yeah, like 03-04. So those were some really, really good times in the Truck Series. A lot of on-track and, you know, in-person drama with some drivers as well with Paladin.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, it was good.
It's kind of like if you talk to a stick and ball sports fan and if you tell them, ask them about a rivalry, you know, most are going to say Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, or LA versus Boston in the hardwood court. So, I mean, for those who are not familiar with the Truck Series back then, that's pretty much how intense it was. And I sometimes reminisce about those. Even it's just weird to say that 18 years ago or 20 years ago is that long ago, but I feel like I can remember those years better than I do even yesterday.
I mean, I haven't followed the trucks as much. Obviously, I was in it back then, so, I mean, that's what you were doing. But, I mean, I know recently now, you know, Kyle Busch has his truck teams, and they're always pretty dominant. Thor Sport was around back then, and they're winning races now. And, like, the dominant team before Kyle's, I think, was Kevin Harvick used to have and own a truck team, and they were pretty dominant a few years. But back then, it was, you know, between Morgan Dollar, Ultra, even Bobby Hamilton had a truck team, and, you know, and then Jermaine was coming up as well. So, and then Roush had their truck team. So, I mean, there was a lot of teams back then.
A lot of heavy competition, and, of course, when you have a lot of those quality teams out there, it certainly would explain a lot as to why it was so competitive and very much an intense series, just as intense, I feel, as the Cup and then Busch Series back then, back in those times. So hopefully we'll get to see that. But, you know, in the Cup Series, we do have that quality competition. You know, of course, the number five team has been the team lately with all these wins and top two finishes since Darlington. You know, I also have to say, I'd be remiss to not say congratulations to you about how the team has been so successful this year. So from your perspective, how exciting has it been to go to these racetracks every weekend and know that, you know, you, Kyle, Cliff, all of you guys have a chance to win no matter what the track?
Thank you. I mean, it's awesome. Obviously, you know, Kyle's just special talent, a wheel man. But, I mean, you know, this, our team in general as a whole, you know, I feel is pretty strong, and that's makes the whole deal go. I mean, every one of us pretty knows, you know, we know each other's job and we back each other up. And I mean, that's what it takes. You know, nothing gets, falls through the cracks, and, you know, hopefully the team remains bulletproof. And when we get to the track, you know, Kyle's got a strong, dependable car to drive. And I mean, after that, you just put it in his hands, and that's about it. And he makes us look good.
he's always been so complimentary about you guys. I've interviewed him a few times this year already, and every time I mentioned about his accolades, he's always the first to just defer what he's done, and he always praises you, Cliff, and the entire team. So, you know, humility certainly goes a long way in this sport, and it's just so fun to see, you know, when teams and drivers have these incredible successes, like this year. We're not even halfway into the season yet, so it's going to be exciting to see, you know, just how much more will happen this year. to say the least. You did talk about this a little bit earlier, how, you know, you may have not been able to tell the difference between certain parts back then to now, but I mean, you've obviously been around enough to see the changes of NASCAR, obviously with the teams over the years, but also the cars have changed a lot since 2003, 2004, and obviously we're going to have a big change next year with the next gen car for 2022. So, you know, how much do you embrace these challenges? Even though it's been a great year, you're going to have a big curveball coming your way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess first off, you got to close out this year strong, obviously. And, you know, slowly but surely, I guess, parts come trickling in as to how next year's car is going to be like. You know, obviously we've got a car to look at and see how it's going to go. There's, you know, our drivers have even, tested a next gen car before. Me personally, I haven't really, messed or looked, I shouldn't say looked, I haven't touched, you know, threw a wrench at anything on that car yet. But I promise you, come the all, you know, once this season is over, it's going to be, you know, full speed ahead on next year. I mean, you have to start planning out, you know, I mean, our, you know, I doubt the toolbox will be obsolete, but all the carts that hold all the current generation stuff, I mean, that'll be obsolete. You have to refit everything in the trailer. And, I mean, there's just, you know, a lot of work other than just a car.
And also, too, just, I mean, I feel like everyone's pretty much going to, it's going to be like a first day of school feeling, if you will. It's almost like, you know, you got so used to being in high school or college, and all of a sudden you guys are going to be thrusted into grad school studies. So it's going to be interesting if there's going to be any testing. Well, I mean, there already is testing with the next-gen cars, but I mean, in the past, NASCAR's had a ton of preseason testing, so I'm kind of curious to see if that gets reintroduced at least for 2022 before Daytona Speed Weeks. But, of course, that's a long way.
I mean, hell, I'd imagine, you know, you'd have practice again. Of course, I'm just speculating. So, I mean, you know, I mean, just to get track time for these cars.
Yeah, I hope so, because I know it's been show up in race formats this year and last year, of course, with mostly the pandemic and then controlling costs as well. But it would obviously be, it would be a shame, of course, if the first lap in Daytona and most of the field has mechanical problems. So I'm sure it would be helpful to have those preliminary sessions before the big dance next year. Now, we talked a lot about your earlier experiences and, of course, what you've been doing during these days. But can you tell me whether it's a funny or a good lighthearted moment, a time that you would say, yep, that is my welcome to NASCAR moment?
A welcome to NASCAR moment.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess just obviously it'll be culture change, you know, first off. I mean, just, I mean, I don't know whether good, bad to say. I mean, just, you know, obviously there's not very many Asian American people running around in NASCAR. So, you know, especially 20 years ago at this point. So, I mean, it's just, you know, different. And I mean, but hey, they welcomed me. I mean, every team I've worked for is like family, so.
And that's good to know. I mean, that's something I was kind of curious about, because obviously 20 years ago, I wasn't covering the sport. It's more of a fan, so I didn't have as much of a feel of what goes on inside the garage back then as I do today. And that's pretty good to hear, especially as a fellow Filipino American myself. And that's something that, you know, I'm kind of glad to see as years have gone by, that NASCAR has gotten better with, at least from my perspective, it has, with making strides with the diversity efforts in all fronts. I mean, we have Daniel Suarez out there, got Bubba Wallace out there, obviously Kyle Larson being half Japanese, and he's out there, of course, riding the five car. We've been making some strides. We even have female pit crew members now in the sport versus, I don't know if that was the case really back then, but, you know, would you say that the experience, you kind of did touch upon it, so, you know,
I don't doubt on the diversity of the sport at all. I mean, I think NASCAR has done a fantastic job, you know, injecting all this diversity in the sport since then. Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing but positive vibes from the whole deal. And, yeah, I mean, even like that whole drive for diversity, I know there's like a whole program and stuff. And I mean, you know, a long time ago, I was part of that deal. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I believe in the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, I've been treated well. It's awesome. I mean, I said every team I've worked for is like family.
And that's exactly what I think best describes NASCAR. I mean, if you ask anybody in the sport, you know, if you had to describe what NASCAR is like, family's probably the first word that's going to come out of most people's mouths, and it's the truth. I mean, everyone does care about each other. We all care about doing the best we can, of course, but I think we would be, you know, it's like, it's very much a people-driven industry where people do want each other to hopefully succeed and have their own triumphs, to say the least. Almost, I mean, it can be said for most cultures, but you can probably relate to me as well about, you know, how Filipinos, I feel like, kind of have that NASCAR mentality too. I mean, we're very family-driven people, and we, even when tough times come up, we typically just persevere. We don't make excuses.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, when I screw up, it's hard to give an excuse. I mean, you just, you know, do what you do.
That's all. That's really, I mean, you have to have a pretty much a short term memory sometimes. I mean, if you dwell on too much of the bad, it's just going to just eat you up and consume you versus saying, okay, I might have had a bad time right here. What can I do to make it better moving forward?
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, I used to be a tire changer, and I mean, I've won races and cost us races before. And yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, 36, 25, 30, how many races a year, you know, to do it. You can't just dwell on one. I mean, unless they, depending on what, you know, if you're doing three races a week, and you just can't get hung up on what you did, because the next day, guess what? You got another chance to do it again. So, you know, you do your best then there too.
And that's exactly what it takes to, you know, be prosperous, to do well, not just in NASCAR. I think any walk of life, you just have to put your best feet forward, and if you do put a foot wrong, you know, just learn from it, and mistakes are not going to always be life and death. There are moments to find out what you can do to do better, for sure. And I think that's something, no matter who's in the sport, no matter what car is on the track, I think that's what I love covering from my perspective, and even being just a fan myself, I love watching that. With racing and in sports in general, and people can kind of get through and find out what they can achieve when their backs are against the wall. Now, I'm sure you've got some family and friends who may not know everything or follow everything that goes on in NASCAR and other motorsports. Probably you got some that say, oh, it's just a bunch of cars going around in circles, which of course is not the case. But when you've had a chance to show them what you do, how often is it to share a glimpse of what goes on in racing?
I mean, I live here in North Carolina by myself, so most of my family is back in New Jersey. And, you know, I guess I'll start with my parents. I mean, slowly over the years, they've gotten to understand how the whole racing deal works. It's just hard to explain to, you know, anybody, even cousins and stuff, just because, you know, we're successful now, so they'd like to go to a race to see what happens, how, you know, what goes on? Well, I mean, I can't just bring you to the track because then you just be look, lo- you know, you'd look lost and not, you know, and that, not that, I don't want to show you around, but it's very difficult when you still gotta work. You know, you got a job to do still and you can't, you know, hold them by the hand and show them how everything works and goes. So I guess over time you just let them see what you do. Like first thing I'd have them do is come to the racetrack, sit in the stands so they can see what's going on. Anyways, going back to my parents, they've, you know, they've done this for a couple of years now, watched me race. Fun, just because we've recently won the Coca-Cola 600. Since I live in Jersey, they've always, like, my home track has always been Dover, even though Pocono is closer, just because when I first started, Dover was the closest track and they could drive to see me. And after all these years, we have never gotten to victory lane. The closest I could always go to was second multiple times. This past Dover, you know, we had a shot to win the race. And after the last pit stop, we lost the lead and thought we could regain it back, but didn't. And I really thought that that was going to be, we're finally going to win at Dover, but however, they never drove down for the race just because of the whole COVID thing going on. You know, it's yes, no, yes, no. They didn't know whether to come down or not. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to, I mean, our team, our organization still won the race, which is good, but we didn't win the race, five car. Happy as hell for the 48. You know, disappointed, though, that we didn't win, but also, like, because we didn't win and they weren't there, then we haven't lost anything. And then fast forward a couple weeks later, my parents come down for Memorial Day weekend here in Charlotte, and then they decide to sit in the stands and watch the race, and we finally got to win the 600. And, I mean, I guess that was a personal goal of mine to have family around and win a race, and, I mean, we had a team celebration, obviously at the track, but, afterwards I had like the checkered flag and we took pictures. They waited for me outside the track and, you know, we took pictures. I mean, it was final. We won a race. They were there in person. They got to see it. And I mean, it was awesome.
That had to be pretty cool. I mean, that race itself was like the perfection of the longest race of the year. I mean, five team won every stage. You guys cranked out amazing stops each time, and that's the most grueling race, I think, aside from the Southern 500, in terms of number of pit stops. So, I mean, to put together that kind of a race, it was just like it's almost like the breakout moment to me, and I think that makes it even more special that you got to celebrate that with your parents, and of course, I'm sure they
felt. That was just unbelievable. I mean, after all these years, it's like, well, a Coke 600, first time, there it is.
It couldn't have been a better race, to say the least. If it couldn't be 800 or Dover, hey, winning in the team's backyard, knowing Hendrick's basically like 5 minutes from the racetrack is no better. It's a great way to usher that
and
moment.
That was also the race that broke the all-time wins for an organization. I guess that was the company's 269th win, and that was a big deal. To Mr. H. So, I mean, that whole race in general was just huge.
And at the moment, you can say when eventually, you know, years down the road and you're looking back at your professional career, you can say, hey, I was part of this team. We achieved this. And it's a historical moment, not only with my crewmates and the organization, it's something I can share with my family as well. And,
correct.
I that's something I can only dream to imagine happening, even as a journalist one of these days, for me. So that's pretty cool that you had that happen. I do have a few more questions to wrap things up. Now, of course, kind of a personal one, but a fun one. Being a Filipino American, have you ever had the opportunity to visit the Philippines and to see some of the popular sites and destinations over there?
So the last time I've been to the Philippines was 1985. I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. So it's, I'd say it's been a while. My parents, though, again, they're both retired. They actually have a condo there. And, I mean, they go there every year. Don't know if they didn't go this year just because COVID happened when they happened to be in the Philippines. Instead of going there for a couple months, because they're smart, Jersey gets cold, you know, in the winter months. So when it gets cold, that's when they jump to the Philippines, hang out there where it's tropical. Then when it gets warm here, they come back. But obviously when you're in the Philippines and it's about, you know, it was March and then lockdown everywhere, then they couldn't get out. They didn't get back, I think, until like September or October like that later on in 2020. So, I mean, it was just, yeah, and then it was just my dad who could leave the condo to get groceries and stuff like that.
Yep.
I mean, but anyways, I mean, I have a chance to go back to the Philippines, I guess, whenever I want, you know. It would just have to be between November and February.
Yeah, you don't have much of a window with the racing season, but hey, if you get to go when things eventually hopefully get better, I mean, November before to about January is about a fun time. It's not too hot, and if you stay there for Christmas, it's such a festive, incredible moment, different from Christmas here in America, but it's just, I can't describe how, like, it's just such a cool tradition to experience. Even though I wasn't born there, I was born in Boston, just to experience what my parents, who were from there, got to, you know, see as kids, and then obviously as older, you know, when they got older, it was special to experience what they had told us over the years, and I hope to visit it again at some point. It definitely has changed, obviously. I think because you went before the people to revolution. So, I mean, you got to see it before everything changed.
I mean, I might have got to see it. But, I mean, I don't remember it just because I was so young. Right. But, I mean, for me to go back, all it will cost me is a plane ticket and time.
Oh. It's expensive, it's long. I don't think you'd want to go with how much protocols and testing they'll make you do, but you know, when things do get better, it's certainly worth the red eye flight just to even experience for like a couple of weeks. Because yeah, it's that's something I'm trying to get accomplished at some of these, one of these years when life gets a little bit quieter for sure. Now my last question for you, and you probably have been asked this, so I apologize if I have, you know, if you've been asked this rather. If you were ever given the chance to wheel one of these stock cars on any track, would you do it to kind of experience what, you know, Kyle goes through and what other drivers you've helped go through?
I guess the you know, easy answer is yes. just because, I mean, I've never driven any one of these race cars, you know, on the track. The closest I ever get is, you know, you drive a go-kart and you go. But, you know, any class of vehicle, late model, dirt, you know, whoever hobby races every weekend, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of friends, they take, you know, they got their kids racing in midgets and all these other classes at Millbridge, which is a big dirt track here down the road. I mean, yeah, I would love to see what it's like to drive in one of these things. I mean, you know, you always ask drivers for feedback to tell you how a car is reacting. And, you know, they tell you whether a car is tight, pushes, loose, you know, free and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, you don't – I've never experienced that. You know, I can understand what they're saying, but just from a feeling standpoint, because I've never raced before, you know, I don't know what that means. So yeah, I'd like to get in something and go.